Well, welcome. I am here today on Winning Through Culture with Mr. Ryan Donaghy, financial planner, wonderful, extraordinary individual. We are going to talk about core value of balance today. Ryan, welcome.
Hello, thank you. I appreciate the invitation to join you today. It's a great honor.
Well, the honor is mine to be with you today. You know, before we got started, we were discussing the whole idea of balance. It's a word that gets tossed around a lot. I think it's somewhat misunderstood when it comes to the context of balance in life. Yeah, I am curious, Ryan, what does the word balance mean to you? Let's start there.
You know, it's kind of funny when I got the heads up that we would be talking about the word balance. It's such a large thought and permeating word throughout life and everything that I remember going to sleep that night, and my brain couldn't shut off because I couldn't stop thinking about how much balance applies to just about everything. You know, balance is just one of those things that we seek in our relationships, in our business, and, you know, in our health, in just about every aspect of our life and in life altogether. So it's such a big thing. You could write a book about it, but I think the book would be too big.
As you think about it from the perspective of a business owner, as you are a financial planner, I mean, how has balance played a role in the success of your business?
Once again, I think that there are several ways that balance has played a role. I can tell you that I've gone through many periods of not being in balance. You know, I remember, Tim, you mentioned this when I heard you say this when I first started, that, being a financial planner is a career where you're underpaid for like the first 7 years, and then
I think it was five.
Something like that for the first 5 years. And
different tale.
Overpaid maybe. Every year after, something like that. I remember telling somebody that. I was like, wait a minute, I'm in my 14th year. I don't feel like.
but anyway, time frame.
Yeah, like wait, I should stop saying that. Now, there's a long period of time where you're building your business and you're focusing on things. And personally for me, I got very out of balance in how I approached my work, and that affected so many different parts of my life. And I guess I was just out of balance altogether, as far as health and relationships and business and things like that, and I could feel it. And then, you know, as you know, I went through somewhat of a traumatic experience where I was suddenly a single father overnight, and I had no choice but to say, okay, reset.
And
yeah, and it was, all right, what's important and what do I need to focus on in order to reset and get this train on the right track. And the number one thing was my son, and putting him as the top priority and making sure that I focused on being there for him and making sure that he had a happy life and was raised with good relationships. And then I realized that I needed to get healthy myself, which I had neglected for several years. You know, I was never what I would call obese, but I was not healthy. And I had many reasons in my head as to why that was. But then I realized that they were all just excuses. And so I started focusing on that and finding ways to exercise and limiting, because of the fact that I needed to focus on those, I needed to cut back on the time that I was over applying to business. And so I decided that, okay, every day I'm going to leave the office. I'm going to be done at 4 o'clock, and I'm going to go and I'm going to go for a run, and I'm going to pick up my son. And it was really funny because when I had an open-ended timeline for the day, I would work until 6:30 and still not feel like I got anything done. But then when I put that time limit on it, I knew that I had to leave at that time. And suddenly I got so much more done in several hours less. And suddenly I was getting exercise and losing weight And when you do that, you eat healthier because you know how hard you're working on the other days. And then I was having more time with my son, and I was healthier and able to be more active with him. And it had this, you know, kind of, you know, domino effect of healthiness and getting that balance going. And then also, you know, another part of it was, you know, as we talked about, the spirituality part of it, mm-hmm. and focusing on, okay, getting my mind, refocusing on my spirit and getting that into, you know, in line or in balance. And it was a you know, somewhat of a renaissance in my own life that took place when all that happened. And so, you know, finding that balance there between all those different areas of life was a huge achievement for me that I had never had. And, you know, coming back to the original question, which I seem to have wandered off from, how has that played into my business? Is when I shortened those hours, I became more productive. When I started to say no to things and prioritize and focus on only on what was important, what needed to get done, and what was going to be best for my business in those hours, my business almost exploded. And you know, it just it was quite a amazing thing to witness from my perspective how it happened. And it was almost, you know, it was almost, you could see it to the day when it suddenly switched.
Yeah.
It was shortly after that that I was given the book Essentialism, which kind of focuses on that same concept.
Yeah, I mean, I love your story, which is why we wanted to do this with you. And I think it's, I remember when we were working on the core values of the firm, and Amanda was very adamant about this particular core value, and I was resisting because I told her that day, and everybody else, I said, I am not your poster child for this core value. And I like you, Ryan, and so many other business owners believed that working longer and more and harder now was going to afford me the opportunity to quote unquote be balanced later. And by signing up for the core value, I started to learn, as you did in your story, that if you, which is what I love about your story, is, you know, you had some choices to make. You had to reprioritize your life around an event that took place that was traumatic and became a catalyst for a really significant and positive change. And by not buying into the story that, you know, working longer and more is better, you exponentially increased success in all the other areas of your life. And I think that's such a wonderful part about your story, is by creating the priorities and the boundaries, you were able to actually achieve more in mm-hmm. your, as a father, you know, physically, spiritually, emotionally, and business-wise. To your point, your business did really just explode. And so it's a great story for people to hear, because again, I think most business owners are led down the path of either I have to just work harder, or what I struggled with when we had the conversation initially about balance a few years back was all areas of my life would be in perfect equilibrium at all times, which that just sounds exhausting to even try and create that. And again, by prioritization, boundaries, and focus, you showed yourself and as anyone that listens to this podcast that you can actually have balance and achieve great things.
Yeah, you know, when I visualize it, I tend to speak in analogies a lot. I think I got that from my dad. You know, you visualize that that old game, the labyrinth, you know, where you got the two knobs and the marble on there, and you're like trying to move that thing around, and it's like impossible coordinating the two, even though it's just two things. Well, you know, life, it's like you get like 1,000 knobs that you're trying to turn and balance this marble on it. And, you know, even when you find balance, doesn't mean that you're just there.
it's not a static state.
No, that one of those knobs is going to turn and you're going to have to adjust the other way. You know, we were talking about a little while ago that I think it's so funny that, you know, we all associate going on vacation with kind of recentering and balancing. And I think that that is true and it's very important. But if there's one thing that throws off your balance just about more than anything, it's going on vacation. Because you come back and you're like, you know, you've been eating bad. You haven't been exercising, maybe. You're like trying to catch up on everything that you missed for the past week. You know, you're rushing around and doing things. And it's like, wait, where's that zen that I had? Like, even before I went on vacation and when I was on vacation, now it's gone. And so you kind of have to find that reset again. And, you know, then you introduce different things to your life, which, you know, whether it be a move or a new relationship or another child or something like that, like, you have to then completely refigure it out.
Reset.
Yeah. And that takes work and it takes effort, but you have to know, this is what I'm building towards. I can't just focus on this one part of it. I have to also be sure that I include these other pieces. Like, one thing for me that I'm so afraid of is stopping exercising again, because I've done that so many times and saw the negative effect of it in many areas of my life. That, you know, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, I'm like, okay, I have to go for a run. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, no matter what.
Including on a rainy morning.
Including on a, well, I do in the afternoon because I'm not a morning
person. Rainy afternoon.
Plus, I like that because it gives me that stop to the day. Like, okay, you got to stop working because you got to go for the run. But yeah, people will see me running in 40 degrees in the rain. They're like, man, you're crazy. I'm like, if I don't run when it's hot or when it's cold and rainy out, I won't run when it's hot and humid.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can find all sorts of excuses, but I know that if I do that, as long as I keep that in check, that I will keep that. And I'm so afraid of losing it that I make that an intentional thing. Like, okay, this is something that's part of it, and cool. I'm not going to let it fall off.
It's definitely a discipline that you've developed. And I think this concept of a clarity break, so you talked a little bit earlier about vacation, but sometimes exercise can be that, right? You can clear your mind, you have that sense of a moment of zen, as we discussed earlier, but then you can get right back into the routine that you've established that ultimately helps you feel in as much balance as you possibly can be for the day or for the situation.
Oh my goodness, yeah, I'll tell you, I said I run 3 times a week. I hate running. I literally, like, the first mile of every single run, all three days a week, I'm like, do I really want to do this today? Yeah. Am I really up for this? Like, do I feel all right? Maybe I should have gone to the bathroom before I left. You know, like, all these excuses are going through my head.
Hungry.
Like, should I take a break now? No, I don't usually take a break now. No, I just have to keep going. And I have the same conversation in my head every single time, but the whole reason I do it is just because I know the payoff. Mm-hmm. I know what it does for my mind. I know what it does for, you know, my, I guess, personal, like, achievement. I know that it shuts off the day for a bit. And, you know, it lets me know that I can relax after that.
You're honoring your word to yourself.
Yeah, that too, yeah. And you know what? This is maybe a side thing, but I had all these reasons why I didn't run before. You know, my knees weren't very good, my back wasn't really good, not a big guy, my frame's just not built for running. Well, what's funny is that when I started running, all those pains went away.
Isn't it funny like, how that happened?
Like, oh wait, they were in pain because I wasn't using them, not because I shouldn't use them.
Yeah, the atrophy.
Well, Tim, you say a lot that, you know, the story that you tell yourself becomes reality.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's partly what you're saying there, that ultimately you had a narrative in your head that was a limiting factor, and you were able to push through that and ultimately get to a place of exercise and health and ultimately overall just wellness in general.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it speaks to the fact that by taking care of yourself, you are much better positioned to take care of others. And the easiest thing to neglect for most business owners is their health. And it's the one thing that will have the most ripple effect relationally, emotionally, spiritually, and eventually in their business. And, you know, we work with a lot of business owners in our line of work, and you do see some that don't take care of themselves and, you know, tend to have a lot of associated challenges with that. But by your investing in yourself and your health and your wellness, it's paying dividends, not just physically, but in all other areas of your life.
Yeah, well, you know, and so much of what people focus on is money, and that's kind of funny to say, you know, coming from a financial parent. but I remember talking to a client one time. He was like, and I'm going to do this and this and this, and, you know, my plan is this, and then eventually I'm going to make, I want to be making $1 million a year. And I was like, why? And it completely stumped him. He was like, what do you mean? Because then I'll be making $1 million a year. I'm like, well, what?
What's that gonna get?
Why do you need that? Is that what's important to you? But, you know, by what means are you doing that? You know, are you sacrificing your family life? Are you sacrificing your health to do it just so that you can say that you did it? Because the lifestyle that you want doesn't require that. Is that the most important thing to you, that you get to this number that really doesn't reflect everything else that you sacrifice behind it? And that was a pretty interesting conversation to have with him. You know, not to say like, hey, don't be successful, but.
Well, I think your point is, and we see this a lot as well, right? People pursue money for money's sake, and talking about balance, put the rest of their life, you know, secondary or tertiary, and the pursuit of money ends in a, you know, broken relationships, poor health, no spiritual dimension, and, you know, a lot of sometimes challenges in business. And it's, you know, putting that out as the first reason for pursuing anything. Again, some people can be very successful in doing so, yet I think your point is well made, that most people do that not with a primary chief aim other than say they did it with no regard to the rest of their life and this whole concept of balance, of tending to the rest of it. I'm going to pivot a little bit from a relationship perspective, because you spoke of your father earlier, and you are a part of a very wonderful legacy. Your father is, I think, one of the greats, and anybody that knows Hank Donahue knows they've come into the company of an exceptional human being. Talk a little bit about, you know, the legacy of ultimately you not only working together, but taking the life's work he had and taking that to a whole nother level of work as a financial planner.
Well, in my father, once again, trying to think of him through this lens and perspective of balance. He's got six children, which right there, you know, I'm trying to balance life with one.
Yeah.
You know, and I think to myself, like, wow, you know, raising six kids. And I mean, he worked hard to do it, but I also, you know, think about riding the school bus to school every morning. This is a bit of an example here of what I was just talking about, riding the school bus to school and, you know, going by my dad running every morning. You know, every morning he would go for a run, he'd come back, he'd do sit-ups, he'd do push-ups. He always made sure to take care of himself. He still does it. You know, he goes for a walk every morning. He's not running anymore. He's 90, but he walks
90 years
miles.
Old and doesn't look it.
Yeah. Doesn't look it, doesn't act it.
Yeah.
You know, and then he would work. He would have time for all of his children and support them and build relationships and we all respect them completely and, you know, have a great time with them. And every Monday he would be at Boy Scouts with me. He had a lot going on and a lot of responsibilities, but was able to focus on each of them, make them all a priority. And I think that's a pretty phenomenal thing. And then, you know, on top of that, as far as in the business, you know, he always, every client was just as important as the next. And every, you know, service item was just as important for this client as this client, no matter how big or small. And, I always thought that was pretty amazing how he would do that and would remember everything. He called everybody on their birthdays and, you know, made time for all those little things. One of the things that I think everybody kind of maybe strikes people about my dad, I've always noticed this. It's like he's got this magical power. I don't know what it is, but people talk to him and he doesn't even have to say that much, but he just listens to you.
He's a good listener.
He is. He's never met a stranger.
Great listener.
Yeah, never met a stranger.
And you always feel special when you're in a conversation with him.
Yeah. So he has this amazing ability of just making people be the center of his attention. And that's a pretty amazing thing to do, to be able to focus on all the little things, but also, you know, keep that big picture in perspective. He focuses on the little things while also not letting anything go overlooked.
You know, he's had a profound impact in your life and certainly those of us that know him. I mean, what are some of the values that he's kind of taught you or transferred to you or you've picked up in your relationship with him?
It's kind of funny because we worked side by side for so long and we do all these personality tests like the DISC and all that. And it was really funny because my adaptive personality style was like completely opposite of his because I had to adapt around his. Yeah, his natural and adaptive styles were basically identical. Like he was just who he was no matter what.
Yeah.
And I had to shift who I was just to, you know, make our partnership
work.
Work. But, you know, that's a great question. I think that what my dad really kind of instilled in me was the relationship with our clients. Definitely working hard and the pride in what we do came from him. The focus on the individual and who they are and building that personal connection was always a big thing with him and with us, and that I'll always carry with me. I think it's funny, he's not in appointments now, especially as we're in this virtual world that we're in right now, and also over the past few years as he's kind of taking it easy a little bit, but I always say that he's in every appointment with me because I quote him in every meeting.
You hear yourself speak and say, that's Hank.
And I'll be like, my dad always says.
Yeah.
You know? To try and pin it down as to what I got from him is pretty tough to do.
Yeah, no, and I understand. I mean, I think it's there certainly is a wonderful legacy component there. You know, you're part of a wonderful family, and he certainly has had an impact in helping you have the balance that you have in your life and be able to be successful at all the levels that you are. And I think that's a real testament to the influence and impact he's had on others, and that legacy's living on through you. So,
thank you.
Yeah. So at a firm level, you know, you've heard us say, we talk about success in balance, you know, really as a function of mind, body, and spirit. And we spoke a little bit about this, but I'm kind of curious as to how you see the importance as a business owner, as a financial planner, you know, how do you achieve balance ultimately in your practice so you can better serve your clients?
Achieving balance in my practice is an ongoing thing, you know, just like it is in every aspect of life. As your practice grows, you continually have to rebalance it because you can't be all things to all people. And I think one big thing that people should do is have a coach. Mm-hmm. You know, at the very minimum a mentor, but at least a coach. I think that it's important to pay somebody to do it because it commits you to it a lot more. You know, somebody that can call you out on your practices and maybe what's out of focus or what you need to be paying attention to. And hold your feet to the fire. That's really what we do for our clients, you know, in their financial worlds. And if we see the value in that, then we also have to see the value in doing it for ourselves in many different ways. I think that one thing I think is funny is I think that we should all have a financial advisor of our own.
Yes.
But
do it yourself.
Yeah. I think that but yeah, having a coach to help you understand, like, hey, you know, you have to be able to say no to certain people. I've had a hard time with that. And that's one of the things, you know, from growing up with my father, it, you know, that is part of me that I've had a hard time getting out, is that I can't help everybody and I can't say yes to everybody, because I also have to, you know, for every yes that you say no to something else.
Something else.
Right? And some of those no's that you're saying no to is yourself. Yeah. Right? Because if I try and help all people, well, eventually I'm going to start, you know, skipping my run or, you know, working longer hours, which, you know, has been something you get seepage over time where those lines start to blur and you start to make, you know, justify it. And so, you know, you have to find that balance of who can I best serve and who can, who is going to maybe throw that off, and how do I help them by directing them somewhere else? And that has been a hard thing for me to learn over the past couple of years, that I've really had to work hard on, understanding who would be best served by being with somebody other than me, and then helping them find that person.
Yeah, it's I think it's a testament to what you said relative to balance, which is you can't be all things to all people. And, you know, you've got a unique skill set and are going to connect with a certain type of client. And that's where you've got to put your time and energy. And if it's for whatever reason not a good fit, and you have to say no, it's how do you help that person find the right fit for them? Mm-hmm. And so you can do honor what your father has done so well, which is treat everybody as if they were their only and best client. His only client, best client, and gives you the space and the time to be able to do that for the right people for your practice. and do that in a balanced approach versus letting the business throw you out of balance again.
Yeah, letting the tail wag the dog kind of.
Yeah, well said. So in the vein of, the idea from an entrepreneurial perspective or business owner of trying to do it all, what are your do's and don'ts when it comes to doing it all?
Don't. Know that you're going to have to work hard, but also always keep focus on what is the most important thing. Why are you doing what you're doing? Kind of going back to that conversation from earlier, okay, you want to make that money because it will make you'll deem yourself a success, but what did it do to the rest of your life in pursuit of that? Don't let your business run your world. Don't be a slave to the business and let it run you as opposed to you running it. Find your boundaries. And set your priorities of what you're going to make sure that is included on a daily basis outside of work. And taking those moments to reconnect, make sure that your love life, your relationships are being tended to, your relationships with your children are being tended to, your relationship with yourself, with your spirituality, with your friends, all of those things that you need to do. Forgive me, but in preparation for this, I was thinking about a video game that was loaned to me in college called The Sims.
The Sims. Yeah.
Some people might be familiar with it. It was a CD-ROM.
Yeah.
It was a CD-ROM. Somebody gave it to me. I was like, okay, I'll play it. Put it on my computer. And in it, you live a person's life on a video game, which is so bizarre to think about, that you're not living your own life while you're living, controlling this person's life. But you have to, you have all these different levels that are monitored on that person. And you have to keep the friendship level high, and you have to keep the relationship level high, and the self-esteem high, and the sleep, and all this. And so you might be trying to, cater to this one part to get it back up high on this person, but by doing that, you're neglecting the other part, and it goes down, and it gets sad, and it's, at the time I'm in college and I'm playing this, I was like, this is absolutely ridiculous. What is this? And then I realized that we're all playing that game.
Oh yeah,
in real life.
We all are. We focus so much on one thing and realize that this other thing over here has gotten really low, and then we go over to that and let the other ones fall really low, and we're playing this game of whack-a-mole trying to keep our levels high.
Yeah.
And as opposed to just making sure that everything gets its time and balancing it.
Right.
Balancing what you get that attention to. But yeah, I mean, whoever designed that game clearly, was onto something, but by playing that game, you're neglecting all those things in your own life.
It's a whole other topic.
Yeah, I played it.
Immersing yourself in a video game for 4 hours.
I played it for 4 hours. I was like, "What did I just do?
What happened? Where did the time go?"
I'm never doing that again.
Not a quotient of balance.
So, yeah. No need to go buy the game, people. You're already playing it.
You're already playing it every moment of every day.
Yeah.
Well, it's maybe kind of some parting advice to entrepreneurs about how they could incorporate balance into their lives daily.
Just be conscious of it, and put effort into it. It's not going to just happen. And things will change, and you'll need to be conscious of that when that changes. We've all been through a lot of changes in the past year, a year ago, We went into lockdown and we all had to find out how to balance again. You know, I had a really good routine up until a year ago. I'd listen to podcasts that were, you know, for, you know, get my spirituality and my mentality up in the morning, and I worked until 4, and then I'd go home and I'd listen to classical music to unwind, and then go on a run and then pick up my son. I had this great routine. It was wonderful. And then suddenly I was at home all day, and, you know, yep, I realized that I'm not mobile anymore. So then I had to figure out, okay, I need to go for walks throughout the day just to move my muscles, because moving from my bed to my desk
wasn't enough.
No, it wasn't enough, even with a run in the afternoon.
Yeah. 300 step days in the house.
Yeah. Yeah. You gotta, so just know that you just need to be conscious of that balance and paying attention to it, and it will be thrown out of whack in a lot of different ways. And so focus on it, make it a priority, make balancing your priorities a priority, and just keep it in perspective as to why you're doing everything, not the number that's associated with it or the prestige that comes along with it, but, you know, why is it being done?
The purpose.
The purpose.
Yeah. A real driving purpose gives you a focal point. But I think that's great counsel. Again, back to what we talked about earlier, throwing yourself entirely into your work will only get you so far. Yeah, and the power of routine and habits is also something you really spoke to. And, you know, the last 12 months have definitely provided an opportunity for a disruption in that. And in some cases, you know, I think other people, it's actually given them an opportunity. I think I've been able to personally be more habitual because I'm not traveling like I used to all the time. And so it's, you know, because I don't have young children at home, but it's definitely a good reminder that, you know, that when a plane's flying from the East Coast to the West Coast, they don't just take their hands off the wheel and they end up where they need to be. It's a constant set of adjustments, small little adjustments all along the way in order to stay on course. And that's really what your message is in order to have balance, you know, you have to stay on it on a daily basis or things will unravel quickly.
Yeah, where are you going? That's funny. I thought I invented that analogy. I tell people all the time, like, you know, when talking about financial planning, like, yeah, you know, if you head west long enough, you will hit the Pacific Ocean.
Yeah.
But is it where you want to be?
Yeah, right.
Where do you want to be? Because if you have an idea, you need to be specific about it and the route you take to get there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you need to know, all right, what's the goal here in order to get it? You're not going to just one day show up and be like, hey, I'm at my goal. I didn't even know it was my goal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Won't be a goal at that point.
It'll just
be a coincidence or
actually. Where you are, yeah.
Either way. Why don't, we didn't do this at the front end of the podcast, but why don't you take a couple minutes just to talk about your practice and, you know, where you do focus your energy as far as, you know, the clients you serve and the work you do.
Oh, that's the one part of this conversation I wasn't prepared for. No.
I figure that might be an easy one to answer.
Yeah, it's funny. I like to think of myself as a financial psychologist. I'm a financial planner. I do fee-based planning for my clients, then all the aspects that come along with that, helping them set their goals, helping them establish positive behaviors in order to reach those goals. I think that financial planning, it was more about psychology and behaviors than it is about numbers and analytics. Because I feel like if you have positive behaviors and you focus on those, monitor and adjust them, you will be successful and make it to where you want to get to. I do the fee-based financial planning. I help my clients set their goals. I do the asset management and the protection products that come along with that. I like to say anything that has to do with building or protecting your wealth. and then help them keep focused on what's important. You know, what, you know, is this really a priority or is this? And, you know, values are something that are very attached to money. So that's how I would describe myself.
It's succinct. I mean, you're giving people advice to achieve that which is important to them, and you're helping them stay on track and form the habits that will allow them to do that.
Yeah, the 30-second elevator talk is something that takes practice, and I haven't been in many elevators lately.
least if you have been in an elevator, you've been alone.
Yeah, yeah. Networking events, things like that. You know,
a year without.
Wait,
that.
What? You're asking me what I do?
Yeah. I just do it.
Yeah.
Well, I you do it well, and I just thought it'd be nice to touch on, and I appreciate the time with you today. You know, Winning Through Culture podcast is really about sharing with entrepreneurs and business owners and those that aspire to be business owners or an entrepreneur the elements of what can help them win at life and be successful, and you are certainly a fantastic role model in that regard. You are the perfect person in my mind for a discussion on balance, just knowing what you have achieved in your life and the journey that you got there. So, Ryan Dunahy, I appreciate you being with us here today.
Well, I appreciate the kind words and the opportunity. It's a fun experience.
Well, until we are together again on Winning Through Culture, make it a great day, and we will talk to you soon. Thank you for listening to the Winning Through Culture podcast, and remember, stay impactful and relevant. To connect with us, you can find us on Instagram and LinkedIn at Winning Through Culture, and find us online at winningthroughculture.com, or just go to the show notes where you'll find all the links. We look forward to connecting with you and hearing from you. Thanks for listening.